Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, June the 1st, 2026. Kicking off the month of June, 21 days away from the first day of summer. 19 minutes past the hour. Want to thank Mr. McFeely, David Newell, everybody's favorite mailman for over 30 years on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, for joining us this morning, especially because of the fact that the Mr. Rogers stamp will be reissued today by the post office after winning a popularity vote in regard to stamps that the post office wanted to reissue for the 250th anniversary of our country. Mr. Rogers, still popular. What did the stamp get? More than 40,000 votes over whatever the second place stamp was. So go to the post office today, get online, and you can get yourself some Mr. Rogers stamps. The phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. I actually saw that we had a call coming in there as we were going to break in hour number one, so feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. And Mr. McFeely has been a big part of this station over the years. He did two popcorn parades with us. He did a sweater drive on one of the coldest February days ever. I don't remember the year now on that. Maybe 2015, somewhere in that neighborhood. And maybe one day we'll get him here for another parade. Wouldn't that be a lot of fun if Mr. McFeely was able to come back? He's just such a nice man. Such a good guy. Well, I did want to say that over the weekend, I went to the O.J. McDuffie event Saturday night at Tri Rivers. What a lot of fun this event was. I mean, it was really a class event. And my hat's off to Tara Dyer, who I know put a lot of effort into this event. She is O.J.'s aunt. And it was just a classy, fun event. A lot of people there, good food, heard a lot of stories from a lot of great people who've been in the Marion community for quite a while, put a lot of effort in, and O.J. gave a great speech to wrap up the night. And by the way, I have about a three-minute interview here that I conducted with O.J., when the event was over. He was so nice and polite and kind. Here's that three-minute interview that I conducted with O.J. McDuffie, former NFL player, Marion native, from Saturday night's event.
Scott Spears, WGH Talk Radio, here at the Building Bridges event, joined by a hometown hero, came home today, former Miami Dolphin NFL legend, Nittany Lion, O.J. McDuffie. O.J., so good to talk with you here at the big event.
Oh, yeah, Scott, man. It's great to be home in front of all these great people from Marion, Ohio, seeing all these young men that are here aspiring to be something special in this world, man. So it's really, really cool to be back.
What was it like for you to come to this event? What did this event mean to you?
You know, it meant coming home. It really did. You know, working with these kids through this summit, through Zoom conversations, we've had three or four Zoom calls that have been, like, amazing. And getting to know these kids through Zoom and finally meet them in person and being able to try to inspire them a little bit, it really meant the world to me.
What message do you hope people leave here with tonight?
Yeah, you know what? We're talking about building bridges and bridging gaps, man. I want these kids to know that there's no task or anything, there's nothing too far out of reach for them to be able to go out there and accomplish, and lean on people, lean on community, lean on their faith in God.
You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people wonder, why did O.J. McDuffie not go to Ohio State? You told us tonight. Could you tell that little story for us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was locked and loaded to go to Ohio State. Loved Earl Bruce, and Gary Hart was recruiting me. So I was definitely going to Ohio State. December of my senior year, they fired Earl Bruce, brought in John Cooper. And my mom and I just didn't feel very connected or very close with John Cooper. So pretty much told us that we're going to go elsewhere. That's when it came down to Penn State, Notre Dame, and obviously Penn State.
You ended up at Penn State. Joe Paterno has had an interesting legacy there now. What do you make of what's happened to Joe Paterno's legacy at Penn State?
They don't know anything about Joe Paterno, man. Joe Paterno's a great man, a great mentor, and he did great by us football players as young men, as kids, guys that went to class, and guys that did the right thing.
What do you hope the future holds for O.J. McDuffie?
Well, you know what? I just hope I can raise some fine young men like I have. A 24-year-old and an 18-year-old, I want to see those guys grow up to be very successful in whatever they want to do in life.
Family, very important to you. You mentioned your mother tonight a lot in your speech. Your mother's watching this tonight. What do you think she's thinking from up above?
I think she's really enjoying it, man. She would have made me come home probably a long time ago if she was around. But Aunt Tara getting me here, I know her and my mom are really, really close, man. So I know that she's proud of everything that's happened. And me being home and, you know, being able to spend time with the family, I know she's super proud right now.
Two more quick questions. Tara is a wonderful lady. Tara Dyer, your aunt, put this event together. What does she mean in your life?
She means everything. She really is. She was my mom away from my mom. Aunt Tara helped raise me. You know, she helped make me, you know. And then she's so inspiring. She's so much joy for all these kids, and she's always trying to improve everybody's lives, man. She's been everybody's mom for a long time, man. And so she's just the best, man. Couldn't ask for a better auntie.
How do you hope the people here in Marion and the people all around the country remember O.J. McDuffie 100 years from now?
Well, you know what? Somebody that cared about where they came from, somebody that always tried to inspire the young guys and, you know, try to lift people up, and somebody just loved football, loved people, and just loved communicating. That's it.
The one and only O.J. McDuffie back in Marion. Thank you, O.J.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you.
O.J. McDuffie, it was fun to see him come back to Marion on Saturday night and come back with a lot of enthusiasm. He gave a great speech that night, told a lot of wonderful stories, and it just could not have been better. And again, the phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything you'd like to say about anything, feel free to weigh in on this Monday morning, June the 1st. Well, what's going on tonight? Well, it's a city council committee meeting night tonight at 6:30 at City Hall. And I guess the big issue tonight is probably going to surround this whole issue of city council decorum. Now, I believe tonight is the third reading in committee about decorum. And I'm not really sure where that's going to go. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Oh, wonderful morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's the first day of no school.
Oh, you know, yeah, last week was the last day of school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I don't know what to do because this is my first day of no school for now until, well, I suppose the kid will need help with his homework, but he's going back to regular school all day next year.
Oh, really?
And yeah, for the first time, he's going to be a junior, and for the first time since halfway through fourth grade, I won't have homework assignments due.
Oh my gosh, what will you do with the time?
I don't know. I'm thinking about getting a job.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
I know. What desperate times, desperate measures. I got to do something to keep these idle hands at bay. But there's a newspaper article this morning, Marion Star, and I know that you don't get it, so I thought that I would share it with you because it's a very good article. I actually sent Abby a text and told her, great article, and thanks for doing this level of investigation.
Oh, what did she do?
She got the recovery plan that we submitted to the state of Ohio.
Oh, okay.
She got it from the state of Ohio because I can't say for sure, but I'm going to assume that she asked the city and no one gave it to her, I guess, because she's a good investigator. And she would know to do that. But in reading the article, the first thing that stuck out to me was that Marion is one of five local governments in Ohio in fiscal caution. There are two governments in fiscal wash and 13 entities in fiscal emergency. So this is not very widespread.
No.
What do we've got? Like less than 20 governments that are being overseen by the state of Ohio right now. One of the problems that we knew was that we wanted to pay back that $8.9 million over a 20-year period, and the state of Ohio said that was too long.
Oh, right. That? Yeah, I remember that being an issue, yeah.
The state of Ohio, we never knew how long they wanted or what time frame they wanted it paid back in. We just knew that 20 years was too long. The state of Ohio was looking more towards 3 to 4 years that they want that paid back, a 3 to 4 year time frame.
That's quite a cut down.
Yeah, that's significantly different than 20 years, don't you think?
Yeah, that's different.
Let's see. I'm trying to find out what else I... Okay, so one of the big parts of the plan was timely monthly reconciliation. And we have a 3-year plan to get all of our reconciliations done from 2022 to 2028. Each reconciliation is budgeted to take 3 to 6 months to complete. Now, we started 2022 in January, and it's not done yet. So I'd say that's not going to happen. Well, it wasn't even January that we started that. So I'd say that's not going to happen because the guy is still working on that.
Well, maybe we'll hear an update on that tonight.
It also, these would be good questions, wouldn't they?
I think
for
they would.
Finance Committee. It also is a plan for timely monthly reconciliation to be completed within 30 days of month end. So that would mean that Twyla Lang and the new auditor, Vidya Iyengar's office, should be completing reconciliation. We submitted this in, what, April, right? So they should be doing that. Let's see. A 5-year rolling financial forecast to be updated annually. Let's see. All the things that we've implemented for... This is what I wanted to really point out, though, was that Colin said the budget would need to stay the same until about 2029. And in that, we submitted to the state of Ohio that we would be running 7 unfulfilled police officers and 4 unfulfilled firefighters. That's part of the plan. I'm looking at it. 2026 staffing cuts and cost reduction. 7 unfulfilled police officers, 4 unfulfilled firefighters. Says it right there.
So that's part of the plan.
Yes, that's part of the plan.
So
I'm looking at it.
So those, because when that was presented to us at council, not by Mayor Collins, by the way, I don't think he presented that. I think it was a question asked of the fire chief. So those aren't...
This is what we've told the state of Ohio that we're eliminating as far as... It says staffing, 2026 staffing cuts, cost reduction, city of Marion, plan effective date, 2026 upon approval, personnel expense reductions to date, streets and sanitation assistant director, $130,000, parks assistant director, $130,000, transit assistant director, $130,000. Engineering zoning, the zoning compliance person, $100,000. Engineering, the city engineers, $145,000. The police department, 7 unfulfilled. Okay, so they were expecting 1.17 in payroll, and now we're down to 910,000. 1.717 million, and now we're down to 910,000. That's with 7 unfulfilled officers. There's 58 firefighters with 4 unfulfilled officers. And the safety service director was combined for a saving of $90,000. Annual reductions of $2.155 million. And that includes 7 police officers unfilled and 4 firefighters unfilled.
So it will be that way through 2029.
That's what Colin said. He said, well, you're basically going to have to run with the same budgets from now until 2029, so we need to sit down and figure out a way to make that happen.
Well, that's interesting. So nobody was laid off, because my understanding from the police chief and the fire chief is people left these positions.
Right. I still have that email to open, but they are unfilled and some retirement also.
Right.
And they're supposed to be having quarterly departmental budget reviews, ongoing oversight of the budget. Let's see. The first goal was to make sure for the deficit balances, to make sure that the deficits didn't get worse and for the balances to remain stable for at least 6 months. The city pitched a 20-year timeline, but the state rejected that plan for being too long. Chelsea Troiano said some of those funds, because the deficit they are in, I don't see how they would be cleaned up in 3 to 4 years. And by 2030, the city hopes to create a minimum reserve for city funds. The goal would be once these sons are healthy again, they would maintain a minimum positive balance at all times of 15 to 25% going forward, Toriano wrote, providing them with a reserve to prevent having future deficits.
So she wrote that in the plan?
I'm assuming she did.
Now, did Abby get any quotes from the mayor or Toriano for this article?
Let's see. Collins, this is in quotation marks. We're telling our departments you're going to have to keep your expenses about where they're at now for the next couple of years, Collins said. So we all need to figure out how to do that. Using the projections, Collins hopes to have the city back on pretty solid ground by 2029, but there's still uncertainty around the accuracy of forecasts due to the backlog in reconciliations. When the city was informed of its fiscal caution designation, many major projects were put on pause, such as sewer improvements. It's possible projects will get further delayed as the city uncovers the state of its books. So much hinges on these reconciliations getting done, Collins said, at least 22 and 23, to kind of give us an idea of what those reconciliations are showing, if they're showing big problems or if they're showing little minor things. So far, the contractor has used about one-fourth of the allocated $20,000 during his work to complete the 2022 reconciliation. Collins said it's possible his administration will have to ask council for more funds to see other reconciliations completed. It's frustrating because it's nothing we can hurry up and get done here, Collins said. So we don't have anybody here that can do it. We don't have anyone in our own government that can help us. We don't have anybody here that can do it, so we had to contract out to have it done, and you know, we're kind of at their mercy. The city is currently waiting for the Ohio auditor to respond. And there's much more to the article than that, but there's a lot of digging there, a lot of information that she found out that we didn't know.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, so what would you say are the big points of things that we did not know that are impactful?
I think the 3 to 4 year thing should be concerning. They were planning on making the payback in 20 years on the increases of doing away with recycling, raising transit fares. The increases that we're seeing, they were planning on making that work in a 20-year plan. How you take the increases that we're seeing now and you condense that down into 4 years, I don't know. You'd have to make more cuts because, you know, if what they came up with was going to work for 20 years, it won't work for 4. You're going to have to multiply it by 5. You know what I mean? Like, But the deal with the police officers, that and the firefighters, we're not getting them back.
No, but so this was the second plan that was submitted. So this is the plan that they're working on right now that could possibly be accepted.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess...
And it includes 7 less police officers and 4 less firefighters.
Well, I guess that's maybe where they ended up.
The police are yet to negotiate their contract this fall. They have a contract negotiation coming up this fall.
Well, like I said, I think it's a rough time for the city.
And we're arguing about decorum, though. It dawned on me that we're celebrating the 250th birthday of the United States this year. And July 4th, 1776, Declaration of Independence. It's a 1,300-word essay telling England why they sucked and why we didn't want to be part of their country anymore. And why we were willing to go to war, pledge our fortune and our sacred honors, our lives, to do it. And our city council's upset because they got called jackasses and people clapped their hands at inappropriate times. Isn't that ironic?
Well, that's why I think it will be a very interesting meeting tonight, because the last time this was brought up, the second time it was brought up, I felt that Ralph Smith really was not in favor of it at that point. I thought the speech that Aaron Rollins got up and gave, talking about the ineffectiveness of the president of council really being the problem, and everybody seemed to nod and say, well, yes, that is a problem. Scott Kreider's on that committee. He did not seem to be sold on this. And so I'm not even sure this does get out of committee because there were so many questions.
I've got to take umbrage with that because I remember a point in time where Ralph Smith got up there and fought to the bitter end that committees were not allowed to hold anything up, that everything had to be passed on to full council. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, but that hasn't happened.
Well, it has. You have a valid point, so it'll be interesting to see if he goes back on his own points tonight. But I found a case here in Ohio that just happened 2 years ago, I think. It was in Wilmington, Ohio, and there were two men that got up and used critical words, far more critical than I've ever used, of their city council and their mayor. And they were leaving. They were told to leave. They left. And then the police chief went ahead and arrested them outside the chambers anyway. You know, they were leaving. And they're even like, you're really going to arrest us? You're really going to do this? I mean, that's how confrontational they were being. And they sued their city and got $300,000. So how far do we want to escalate this? Because I will tell you, at this point, I want the rules laid out clearly because they keep talking about there's a three-minute. I want that laid out absolutely clearly. Every single person will comply with that. There will be no clapping. There will be no laughing. There will be no cheering. There will be nothing. If any of that goes on, I'm going to document it. And when it's egregious enough, I'm going to drop my own lawsuit, and then I'm going to get my $300,000. Because if this is what they want to do, if they want to create rules, they just need to realize what they are doing. If they want to create rules, they need to make sure they've got somebody strong enough, and they do not, to apply those rules equally to every single person. I've spent a year and a half being retaliated against, and clearly I know what I'm talking about when it comes to civil rights violations because I just beat them in court. So,
well, like I said,
let's do it. Game on. But they're going to hear from me. This is going to be my new job. I've decided if they pass this. Every single agenda item, every single Monday, I'm going to talk about for 3 minutes. I don't care if it's road salt. We're going to talk about road salt. Every matter not on the agenda, I might put together a little presentation that's like weeks long, and you give out handouts, and you get it 3 minutes at a time. If we're allowed to get up immediately after they've voted on the minutes and do the little speech like RJ did with the recycling for the League of Women Voters, every Monday I'm going to give one. But they just need to make sure they know it, and they won't be able to stop me because it'll be their rules. So they just need to make sure they know what they're doing.
Well, like I said, I cannot believe that, I don't know, who knows anymore, but after the last meeting,
I can't believe there are such a bunch of crybaby bitches.
Well, all I'm saying is that
grown-up people that can't take being talked to harshly, they collect a paycheck for it, and they can't take it.
Well, see, I'm not even sure that that's what this is. I really don't know because,
Danny Clark wants to cut down on the noise in the back of the room.
Yeah, the first meeting that this was brought up at, Ralph Smith was not, he was ill. So he wasn't even at the first reading of this. So the first reading was kind of just, this is what it is, this is where it came from. There wasn't a whole lot to the first reading of this in committee. And then when it actually got to a little more discussion 2 weeks ago in committee, nobody knows what it means. Nobody really understood it. Everybody still had a lot of questions. Kreider had a whole list of questions that I don't think he really got answered. Ralph Smith didn't seem to like half the things in it.
The one person that supported it from the audience got up and talked for 5 minutes about how they were in favor of the 3 minute time limit.
Right, so I did not get the, unless somebody's had a meeting somewhere and something's been discussed, the tenor of the last time this was brought up was basically from all three of the people in that committee was, there's still a lot of questions here that we don't have answered and a lot of things that we don't understand, and maybe this isn't the best idea. And I do think when Aaron got up, who I think was the last person to speak that night, and said, we've done this for years. What's the need for it now? And this is about the ineffectiveness of our president, because we have had presidents throw people out of meetings. We have had presidents gavel people. We've had presidents throw city council members out of meetings. That is not happening in the last 2.5 years. And they all were nodding their heads, yes, that is a problem. And Mary's sitting in the audience and didn't say anything about it.
Okay, but I've been gavelled plenty of times. That's the thing. They gavel the speech they don't like, and that's what they're going to run into the problems on, is they're thinking, oh, we're putting these rules, and there will be rules, and now everyone will have to follow them. You have to have someone that will enforce those rules equally. We do not have someone that will enforce those rules equally. So what we're doing is just setting the city up for another lawsuit, and hey, I'll be glad to be the one to file it.
Well, like I said, I
maybe one day they'll take me seriously, Scott. Maybe one day they'll take, you know what, just sit up there and listen to us and nod and go, okay, thank you for your opinion, and let us go back to our seats. That's all they have to do. Don't argue with us. Just sit there and listen. Okay, thank you. Next person, next speaker.
Well, like I said, I think that's what will be interesting tonight, to see if they do pass it out of committee, because I don't know what the recommendation would be if they did. And also, it seems still so disjointed as legislation that I can't imagine they would pass that along to council. So I don't know. I can't say that it will be sent out of committee. Maybe it will. Who knows?
I don't believe Mark Russell to be the expert on this situation either, and the reason I'm going to say that is because they had to hire an attorney to lose to me. They had to pay an attorney likely 6 figures to lose to me. So I'm not going to defer to Mark Russell as the expert on free speech either. So, yeah, and the Columbus attorney is going to keep taking our money and keep fighting the cases. So maybe we just let the people just listen to what they have to say. And people will be less hostile. Maybe if they're less nasty to us, we'll be less nasty to them. Did they ever try to think about the Mr. Rogers approach, loving their neighbors?
Well, see, this is what I don't understand on the whole, is that, during that last decorum meeting, there were a few people that got up and were not happy about this decorum. And if I remember right, Ralph Smith didn't gavel anybody. He didn't cut anybody off, and he's the chair of that committee. So here you are having a discussion on decorum, and if you really felt that there needed to be decorum and that people were speaking out of turn, I think you would have done something that night, and it didn't happen.
Some of the rules they're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do, but they already exist. If one person's spoken, and maybe not everybody in the room knows it because they haven't been there long enough or been to enough meetings, if I'm the first person to speak, I know that I have to wait for all other people that want to speak on the matter before I get to speak again. I don't know. Like, maybe they just need to make the rules accessible to people so people know rules like that already exist. That's already a rule. If I'm the second person and I want to say something else, I have to make sure that everyone else that wants to speak on the topic has spoken before I get up there and say something again. Now, maybe people that are new to council don't realize that's how it worked. When I first started going to council, I didn't realize that's how it worked. So maybe you make those rules available somewhere where the public can access them and know that we're going into this little mini debate club, so we know what we're supposed to do and that we're not just allowed to go up there and talk to our leader. Because you know what? That in and of itself, making so many rules to go address our elected officials, that makes it intimidating to go up there and talk to them. Now you're hearing all this talk about people might be removed, people might be arrested, people might be thrown out. I don't want to go up there. I'm a good person. All I want to do is talk about the recycling program, but I don't want to get labeled as one of those people.
Here's where I think this particular council, for whatever reason, and maybe some of the last council, I would have to say, they tend to shoot themselves in the foot. Because as I have said, people have had arguments before, and far worse arguments than I've seen in the last 2.5 years. But, and people were ejected. out of council. People, council members were ejected out of council by the council president. People were gaveled rather harshly by the council president.
You mentioned Josh Daniels. I'm just going to go ahead and throw his name out there. He's one of the people advocating for these new rules of decorum, and as you said, I remember him being quite the hothead when he was a council member.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's where I think they've went wrong, because when that used to happen, when somebody was gaveled heavily, when somebody was ejected from the room, whether it was, and I can't remember the last time somebody was ejected from the room, it's probably been 2.5 years. So it's never happened, but under Mary, that I can remember of. A council member certainly has not been ejected by her, and there have been some serious conversations, but it has under previous presidents, and not in the long-ago past, in the recent past. So here's what the rules have been more lax the last 2.5 years. There's no doubt about that, but the difference is instead of just going to the president and saying, get control of the meeting, they do something like this. They put decorum in a committee. So now we all have to talk about
even
it.
Even when they didn't like, you know, Sean Barr not too long ago pulled this little call the question rule while Ken Mayer was still talking. That was not a proper move. That was not legal or right what he did. So, I mean, they're still trying to manipulate the system. It's like they're using now that we've started figuring out Robert's rules and things like that, they're trying to create another system, a tougher system, because we're starting to figure out the rules that we're supposed to play by. So now they're going to make a different set of rules. I just don't like it. But they're still passing legislation after the fact that they just settled a civil rights lawsuit for free speech and retaliation, and now they're passing legislation. I'm fine. My attorney and I really did. We sat. He said, I've watched the videos for the 18 months that this has been going on in city council. I see how they act. I see how they behave. Them writing you this check is not going to change any of that because it's not coming out of the city's pocket. He's like, so all they're doing is basically just setting you up for one hell of a lawsuit the next time.
Well, and again,
I can't be the only one. I will bring others with me. I will bring others with me.
But I know that there are people who have said, and this has happened for years, there have been people who have advised council members, don't engage. If somebody wants to get up there and say something and get it off their chest, let them do it. Let them do it. And don't engage in that. But there are certain people who cannot let that go by. And I'm not really sure why that is. And I think that's also been one of the problems in recent times.
Personalities, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big personality conflict. Not that that hasn't happened in the past, because as you pointed out, I believe Josh Daniels had some fiery responses, and he was not the only
Jason
one.
I think Jason Schauber called the sheriff an MF-er once.
Yeah, he did as well. So,
yeah.
And I don't think he was thrown out for that, if I remember. Maybe he was. I don't remember that.
I don't know if he was thrown out, but I think he got in trouble.
Right,
he got
right.
Chastised.
Right. So, I mean, those things have happened. And I think it was, I hope I got this right, I think Ayers and Landon got into a pretty heated discussion at one point that I believe police chief almost got in the middle of. So, you know, these things have happened.
Bodine and Ayers went back and forth with each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, look how they used to scream at the auditor, and that's supposed to be our example. I want to know, I'm going to ask tonight, when are we going to start questioning the new auditor and treasurer the way we did the old auditor and treasurer?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I think people should be aware of, because this is something that I did think about last week. You know, two major things have happened that have gotten a lot of response in the media. One was the elimination of curbside recycling, and the other was the renting out of the would-be fire station, the Rite Aid on Main Street. And yet, last week, I did not hear one person get up and say anything about curbside recycling. I did not hear one person get up and say anything really what would be a negative nature about the fire station. I mean, that meeting last week was over probably in about an hour. And that was a full council meeting with a semi-fairly big agenda.
That's how they want their meetings to go. They don't want any input from anyone.
Right,
they
but if the public...
I mean, what can we do about recycling at this point? What can we do?
No, but I thought... I mean, if somebody's going to come up and say, I protest that, I thought there'd be a little blowback on that. And I do think a lot of this has to do with the Facebook Lives. I think that is discouraging people from showing up because they can watch it.
It's the people that are all for these speaking limitations, they're the ones that sit on their asses at home and watch it. Now, I made a comparison yesterday. All right, I don't go to high school football games because I don't care about high school football. But, you know, what happens at a high school football game could potentially impact my community in a positive or negative way, right? I mean, it could potentially, and what happens at a football game could. So, but because I can't be bothered to get up and go to one, however, I think that the rules at high school football games should be changed because they could potentially impact my community. And since it could impact my community, I should have a say in that, and those rules need to change. Now, I don't go to the football games, but the rules still need to be changed because it might impact where I live. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see the comparison?
Well, I agree with that, but yes, and I don't think you have to go to every game to change the rules, but the meeting on the rule change you should probably go to.
Probably.
That's the problem.
If you're going to support changing the rules, Mr. Kelly, get up there and speak within the 3-minute time frame that you're supporting. Don't get up there and talk for 5 minutes about how you support a 3-minute time limit.
I don't know. To me, it's just, it seems like the council creates problems for themselves.
Oh, they do. My attorney said, you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
Yeah, but I don't even know why.
Because they are self-important jackasses, is what, they don't see themselves as public servants. They see themselves as our rulers and the answers to all of our problems. They don't even understand all of our problems, let alone have the answers to any of them.
You know, but
their big piece of resistance right now is setting up new rules for council, and that some of them have only been on for a few months.
Well, all I know is I think they bring up things that they probably did not need to bring up that just create a story that becomes a bigger problem.
Yes,
and
They have no foresight. They don't see big picture long term. They look at what's going on right now. They don't think about optics. They don't think about how is this going to play out. They don't think about any of that stuff. They just do it because it's what they want to do.
Well, a big moment tonight that I'm waiting for is I'm sure the auditor will be questioned during the Finance Committee meeting about where everything stands as far as reconciliations and all that and penalties with the IRS. Now, there has been no answer, no updates, nothing for weeks now. I mean, she's been in this office since now, I think, February, and this is June, and I've never heard her really give an update on anything. So, is the tone going to continue to be, okay, just let's keep kicking it down the road here?
Well, I want to know when they start screaming at her. I don't want them to, because I don't think it's right.
No, I don't think screaming at anybody's right, but...
It went on for a year and a half, so I believe that's precedent. Isn't that what we call precedent?
Well, it's weird to me that they never really...
screaming at them.
What's just weird to me that nobody really... Once the general question is asked, and she says, we've heard nothing, or once the general question is asked, where are we on the reconciliations, the man is ill, and so on and so forth, now they don't see that as an excuse, but with the past auditors, Landon and McGinnis, they saw those things as excuses and were a little more difficult with them. With this auditor, now maybe it's just time, maybe it's just because she's been in there since February, nobody really ever follows up with a question. They just blow right through
it.
Okay, well, that's her answer, and let's go on.
You know, it almost seems like they're deferring to the state of Ohio to keep things in check for us, and that's not what's going on because we're still paying bills late. And then they're telling us that it's because of new personnel I don't know. I don't know. When does it just stop being an excuse and start getting...
Well, with this article and the fact that we did know that the police department is down 8 employees and the fire department's down 5 employees.
Why are they opening up the hiring pool, Scott?
Well, I guess my question is, do you plan to fill these positions? Shouldn't that be something the finance committee should be aware of?
Well, I guess that's a good question for me to ask tonight, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think it's an important...
Based on this article today, based on the plan that we sent to the state of Ohio, we're going to be running 7 short for a while. Is that correct or not? And then they can say yes or no and go ahead and paint me out to be a liar or crazy or whatever. We can start that process over again, I guess.
Well, I'm just surprised that, and when the mayor said the you know, state auditor keeps coming down here or is down here quite a bit, well, what are they doing? I mean...
I don't know, but we're only one of 5 counties with this designation, and there's less than 20 counties in the whole state that are under their watch. So, I mean, we keep being told this is going on all around the whole state. This is, I mean, I know there are... belt tightening going on around the state, but we're one of 20 counties, so this isn't happening everywhere.
Well, it's unfortunate that it's in the bungle that it's in, but unless there's some big update tonight that none of us are aware of, if something's been reconciled or some progress has been made or something has been done, I mean, I don't know what's going to change. I certainly think the decorum conversation will be interesting.
Well, I want to say good job to Abby. I'll screenshot that article.
Yeah, and yeah. Sounds like she did a good job with that.
Yeah, she did. She did some good investigative work and got some answers, or at least more questions to be asked. So shout out to Abby. Kick up your dollar, people, and subscribe for the month. Cancel at the end of the month. Read the article.
Well, that's all it costs is a dollar?
A dollar for the first month. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know it was that cheap.
For that, Dears, you just got to set the reminder to cancel the subscription.
We're canceled after the first month. All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, that's it for us today. Hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back tomorrow reporting on whatever's going on in the world. We thank O.J. McDuffie and David Newell for being the guests this morning. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Guy, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell with
I wasn't even sure how to word it.